Welcome to SF Commercial Property Conversations with Bruce Bean, where Bay Area investments meet expert insights. Get ready to unlock the strategies of commercial real estate success.
Here we have today Billy D. Martini. He is a cohort of mine, and we worked together for the last, how long, Billy? Like 5-10 years?
I think it's around 6 or 7 to be exact.
Okay. All right. So Billy is an expert in marketing and pre-qualifying tenants for spaces. But Billy, tell us a little bit about your career history and how that went, any particular early successes in your career.
Yeah. So first of all, thank you, Bruce, for inviting me to your podcast. It's an honor to be here. And so early successes in the early hood of my career. I really got into real estate in 2005. My father's best friend at the time was a local agent, and he was crushing it. And he said, Billy, you should get your license. So I got my license, and I thought I was going to work for him and he was going to mentor me. And I said, hey, you know, I got my license. And he goes, good job. So I got a job at the local brokerage. It was Prudential in San Bruno. And they had a great training and mentorship program. And, you know, I always had the lens when I got into real estate, I'd be selling real estate, which I do and did. But always from the very beginning, it was, hey, I have this rental. Could you rent out my property? So that was kind of the start of, you know, I'd started making money and doing rentals, and then, you know, selling a property here or there was also awesome. And the real game changer, though, Bruce, I would say would be when the iPad and iPhone came out. Because that essentially took my time from waiting in the office all day. Imagine I'm still like 19 at this time. And I'm waiting all day in the hot, sweaty office. And I wanted to be out in the field, meeting people, hustling and bustling. But I had to wait for a fax. But then the iPhone came out and it just revolutionized everything. So I was an early adopter of that. And that really catapulted me to the next level.
That's interesting. So off you went, you kind of went into the whole digital world very early. Were people a little bit skeptical when you talked to them about how to do it digitally?
Absolutely. You know, when you're adopting new technologies, I always like to think of that graph, right? Early adopters. And right. At first, you're like, you're going up. It's like solar right now, right? It's mainstream. But when people first got on solar or Teslas, there was always that skepticism. So I remember I was working out. I mean, you know, technology never, it didn't skip from the beginning to where we are today. So it was a very slow tiered system. Like, look, we're having this meeting on Zoom today. So it took a long time to get there. So let's remember that. So when I started implementing the technology and freedom opened up, and even like servicing clients, they were a little skeptical at first, you know, because it's never been done like DocuSign. Do you remember the first time?
They're like, what is that? No, we can't sign online.
Yeah. So there was always a little bit of that resistance.
Yeah, still is a little bit on some sides, but for the most part, it's completely changed. So obviously there were some bumps in the road, just adopting this technology and going forward and seeing how that all goes together. But as you went along, you really became a marketing and pre-qualifying guru in terms of the digital world. So maybe you can speak a little bit to that. And also the whole digital world changed. I mean, staging came along, everything kind of went in a different direction. So.
Yeah. So really, this is you know, the middle 2000s, like 2005 or 6, 7, that's when Zillow came out as well, right?
Right, yeah.
Before that, we had our local MLS, which you had to be a member of, and then you had Craigslist. I mean, Craigslist was bread and butter. I mean, I can't tell you how many deals I did on there. I mean, I even double-ended houses.
Selling on Craigslist.
Yeah, I mean, it was amazing. This is before the scammers got a hold of it. And, you know, now today I do not use Craigslist because it's not worth it.
Right, right. There's so many other platforms that are so much better. Yeah.
So early on, I realized the time limitations of posting online. So there was a website called Rental HTML. And essentially what it did is you were able to put in all the criteria of a listing. And this is only for rentals. You could still do a post for selling, but there was more laws for selling a home, rightfully so. So rentals were kind of like, they paved the way really for this technology. So what I would do is I would say, okay, it's a 2-bedroom, 1-bath in San Mateo for $2,000.
Right.
And it would make an HTML code. Now, this was even before IDX, Information Data Exchange. So what it would do is it would push this code out to everything that was available. And it would also make a really nice post on Craigslist. It would have like photos with color. So it was a really, really nice ad, which most people weren't doing. And it was able to push it out to Zillow, Trulia. There was one called Hot Pads. There's a couple more in the early days that aren't around anymore because consolidation in the space. So that was the start of it, Bruce, is just being on the cusp of that technology, giving people what they wanted and allowing them to access it as easily as possible. Because there's two different types of people who are looking for a rental. One is they want to know every little detail and they want to talk to somebody. But that category is slowly dying. So the new generation, they don't even want to talk to you. They just want to just view it, everything automatically, and then, you know, apply.
So let's skip to that. So what's the current technology now of how you go out and market a 2-bedroom, 1-bath rental unit?
Yeah, so, you know, there's a lot of ways to do it, right? There's a lot of ways to do it, but I think
How do you do it? Let's go through your process.
Okay. Well, once you get the, one of the hardest parts is getting somebody to sign one of the owners and say, okay, let's do it. But once you have a good referral source and network, they say, Billy, we got to put this on the market. You got to get the lease listing agreement. That's number one. Then you got to get good photos. You could hire a professional or not. This thing takes amazing photos. Just watch a couple YouTube videos and optimize that. But nowadays I take a floor plan with the LiDAR in here. There's a LiDAR scanner and there's an app. I could take a floor plan. So it's a pre-listing packet. You get all the information, put the details, you make your post. And so here's where it gets a little confusing. And
wait a minute. Let's back up 1 second here. What's a LiDAR?
So LiDAR is, there's a little scanner in this thing. And okay. It essentially measures the depth of field. Or, you know, I'm not an expert in that.
Right, but just basically what it does.
Yeah, basically it scans, it sends like a little invisible laser out, and with their AI algorithm they have, it could basically, you walk around with a video like this.
Yeah, okay.
It will scan the space, and it's very accurate. So if this room's 10 by 10, it will come back and scan that and it will draw it. And I could give you a post.
Oh, I see. Okay. So you're saying it will draw the space.
It will draw a 2D.
Yeah. Okay. So that's what you're getting at. Yeah, so it'll draw the space out so you can make a plan, right?
Yes. With dimension. Okay. Well, and that's very helpful because somebody might have a certain size bed. They might have a fish tank. So it's just giving them the information they need. So we're not wasting each other's time, right?
Right. So you can get a plan laid out very quickly.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. So that's what LiDAR does, is allows you to get plans set up.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay. So then you got your photos, you got your plans. And then what happens in terms of marketing?
So here's where things get a little confusing. You could easily just go to Zillow.com and post it there. And Zillow has increasingly become the number one probably rental site where people do view listings.
Okay. But
the problem with that is when you post to Zillow, you're only going to Zillow. So you need to spread it to a huge network. I mean, I could at least name 20 off the top of my head.
Oh, rent
pads, hot pads, pad mapper, apartments.com, homes.com, your local MLS. There's just so many. So I use a proprietary software. We actually use it, Bruce, Buildium.
Yeah. Right.
Buildium. It auto populates to around 20 of them. And then I post in a couple additional ones that push it out even further. So that's step number one, is getting exposure. Now, the problem, if the listing is really, really in demand, if it's like single family home, good price, clean, they're in high demand in the peninsula here.
Right.
So your phone will literally ring, like, it will just ring all day.
Right.
But the name of the game is filtering that to get, income, credit, and making sure it's the right match. So I set up a pre-questionnaire, and this is all automated. I actually did build out a system on my own, but now there's systems, there's technologies that are much better than the little rudimentary system I built, which I do use now, because it gives you more control. And there's even lock boxes have gotten to the point now where if you request a tour, you do your pre-questionnaire, then you have to show your ID and you book your time, and then it will give them the access to the apartment. So this is all safety for the owner of that property.
Right. Right. So
there's a good verification system in there.
So you can just automatically, the person you tell them over the line that your appointment time is 3 to 3:30 or whatever, and they show up there and show their ID, and then they can get in.
Yes. So you use Calendly, right, Bruce?
Yeah. Yeah.
I used to use Calendly, and I would have an autoresponder essentially book a tour on there, and I would kind of still manually have to do this. But now I don't use Calendly. I use another system where people could choose anytime they want. I set the parameters up and they could say, okay, Friday at 4:30, I want to see this place.
Right.
And then once they show their ID and they go through the pre-screening questionnaire, then they could do so. And then if they have any questions, they could follow up and they could also apply from there.
So how many times do you actually involve yourself? You're not taking a phone call. They go in and pre-qualify themselves. They pick a time. So do you even talk to them before they go in?
Very rarely. Very, wow. Very rarely. We do have a live 24/7 agent on staff, a VA, who will answer calls. Like if you say, oh, I don't know how to do this, or I don't know how to input, you could call.
Yeah.
Somebody will answer the phone and walk you through that. And there's also notes on each listing. So if they have, they could go a little more in detail to get those answers.
Oh, cool. So, okay. So then they see the place, they like it. Then what happens?
Then they apply. So there's always an application to apply right there.
So it just boom, boom, boom. So then you get their credit report, you look at their credit report, you review it with the owner, and
So we're in California and pretty much anywhere in the United States, but especially California, and every city is a little different and every county is a little different. So you can't get the credit score right away. First, they have to apply and there's some pre-screening, and every city is different a little. So once they submit the first packet in there of
yeah.
their name, their job, who's going to be on the lease, if they have a dog or not, then it takes a little manual work and you have to dive in there a little more, and then you could run their credit.
Oh, okay. So you got to kind of pre-qualify them first. Then once they get through that step, then they can actually run the credit check. Yeah, no reason to kind of run the credit check if you don't allow dogs and they have dogs and that kind of thing.
Well, Bruce, even before they tour the unit, that's very clear what this apartment will and won't allow.
Yeah.
If it's like a strict no dog policy,
Right.
they're not allowed to do that even before, even look
Yeah.
at.
You don't even let them in to see the place. Yeah. So that's good. Yeah. So all right. So that you so then once you pre-qualify them and the landlord decides that this is a good tenant, so then you write up a lease for them.
Yeah, so there's two things that happen. One, if we're doing the property management on that property, then we as the property management company make the decision on the tenant, and it totally the owner is not involved at all. Or it could be, a big corporation or a trust who owns this property. So it keeps the hassle out of their hands and they use our criteria. If it is, let's say the owner is self-managing, then we'll make a packet. And we're still making the packet anyways, just for our grading. And then we'll present that to the owner, and then they'll be able to make a decision if they want to rent this property to that tenant or not.
Oh, cool. Yeah. All right. So then you lease this the property. You what? Give them the keys. How do they get the keys to get in? You got to exchange some money, obviously.
Everything's done online now. I mean, very rarely are we collecting cash or even checks. So it's all done through the payment portal online. It's full transparency. It makes it easier for everybody.
Yeah.
And then we'll do a pre-walkthrough inspection, take a look at the property. We make sure, everything's intact, take a video,
Yeah.
document it. We save it in our system. That way, when it's time for them to move out, we say, hey, this is the condition you got the property in, and we expect it back. If not, we have documentation to show, hey, how did that big hole in the floor get there?
Right. Yeah. When
Right
they're,
there.
yeah. So that's cool. So in this era now, it's become, particularly for single family homes, it's become a big deal to stage the house and presented in a whole different fashion. I know you sold a house down in Menlo Park where you completely staged it up and it did some repainting and so forth. Did a lot of work to get it ready.
Yes, totally. I mean, when you're selling, it's almost, you pretty much have to stage it now. But even for rentals, what we do is we do a soft staging. You don't really have to stage a rental, right? Because people don't expect that. But you do have to make sure it's turnkey and rent ready. If an owner does not want to put in the work to even just clean it, make sure it's dust free, it's going to sit on the market longer.
Right.
So what we like to do is even put down like a bathroom rug, make sure you have soap in there, make sure all the toilet paper is in
Yeah,
there.
all that's ready to go. Yeah.
Basic stuff. Ever since the pandemic, we have either hand sanitizer or soap because, somebody might be in there, their hands are dirty. That's just a basic necessity.
Yeah.
And in little touches like that, just not bath towels, but like floor mats, just little soft staging. It really will help with the frequency of how quick you can get these things rented.
Obviously having the carpet clean and repainting or whatever, you may have to replace some cabinets, whatever needs to happen to.
And if the place is in pretty good shape, at least send the professional cleaners. So they come through and they make it sparkle. So imagine, have you ever bought a car that is dirty, Bruce?
Oh yeah. No.
Have you bought one?
Yeah. No, it's bad.
Yeah, nobody wants to do that. You want the car to smell like that new car smell, even if it's a used car, right? It's got to be detailed, and that's what needs to be done to rentals.
Yeah.
To get the best
result.
Qualified tenant.
Yeah. No, that. Well, and you had an interesting perspective that sometimes the tenant that will pay the higher price is not necessarily the best tenant to take on a property because their credit may not be that great or they may have some issues. So sometimes it's better to take a tenant that maybe will pay a little less, but it has much better credit, so forth.
Yes, it's never good to, I mean, people always think, okay, I want to get the max amount on this property, right? Which sure, that makes sense. And sometimes you could do that in a really high demand area. But the name of the game is you want to get a good person who's respectful, who's just, you know, easy to have a conversation with.
Right, right.
You know, just like a normal, grounded family, individual, whatever. But when you're cranking the rent up to the highest amount it could be, what you're essentially doing is you're making it hard for a good person to get that. Now, let me explain this. So people with great credit score who are likable, who are generally desirable tenants, people are going to offer them good deals.
Right.
They see, like, if this guy's got a solid job, just he's really friendly, like, hey, yeah, he can move in here.
Yeah.
So he's not going to have to pay top dollar. Now, it's usually the people with bad credit. You know, they have maybe unverifiable income or a big dog. They're going to pay top dollar. So those are the only people usually, I've done this enough times to know, when the owner says, I want top dollar in the market. And the market's always going like this. So 3,000 yesterday, it might not be 3,000 today due to the market factors.
Right.
So if you want 3,000, okay, maybe you could get that, but the guy could have a pit bull. There could be 10 people in the house, each paying, you know. So,
right.
So it's really about education and just kind of explaining that and being realistic about that rent. And it's going to pay you back tenfold because you're going to get the property rented quicker. You're going to have peace of mind. I mean, at the end of the night, you're going to sleep well because yeah. That person is good. That group has checked all the boxes.
So if somebody wanted to get a hold of you and find out more about how to do kind of proper credit checking, pre-qualifying and so forth, or even marketing their apartment, how would they do that?
Yeah, you can visit our website. We just got it redone. It's earth, earthhhh.com. You could also just do a simple earth real estate and property management and find us there.
And find Billy DeMartini. Yeah, earth with three H's.com. All right. Well, Billy, that was great. Thank you for joining us. And I'm sure we'll be talking soon here.
Yeah, thank you for your time, Bruce. I really appreciate it. Thanks for inviting
me. Here we go. Talk to you later.
Ciao.
That's a wrap on today's journey through the SF commercial real estate scene. Ready to share your story? Visit sfcommercialconversations.com/guest. Your insights could lead the next conversation.